more than 80%, and that's a very significant effect. The concentration of polymer molecules in that case between 10 and 100 ppm, that was used in experiment, and characteristic molecular weight for polymers is about 10 cent dalton. For what is the main problem that actually first of all, no agreement that only small scales determines polymer dynamics and stretching. Till now, a lot of experiment and theories based on the fact that also large-scale flow can change and change the turbulent drag reduction. There is no any theoretical and experimental work on coil stretch transition of polymers in turbulent flow. It exists, occurs, when occurs, what is the stretching of polymers, and no theory of turbulent drag reduction with elastic stresses. For theory of drag reduction didn't tell anything about elastic stresses and their distribution, and for example, boundary layer for elastic stresses exists or doesn't exist in the flow. That's a short description of this effect. And now we switch to elastic turbulence. What is elastic turbulence? In order to discuss elastic turbulence, I want to switch first to simple description of polymer in flow, because I mentioned that both effects are result from interaction of polymer with flow and stretching of the polymers in flow and back reaction of polymers on flow. And since I consider here mostly dilute solutions, the description of dynamics of single polymer, it's already sufficient to understand main properties of elastic turbulence. And for now, I present you the simple description of single polymer, which can be long polymer, can be presented as random coil. And when shear flow we apply, this polymer will be stretched and oriented in the flow. It can be presented in simple so-called elastic dumbbell model, which is two masses connected by the spring, and the elastic constant of the spring is related to the entropy or temperature, therefore it's an entropy spring constant, and it's also will be oriented and stretched and oriented in the flow. This polymers and flow have the characteristic relaxation time, which is macroscopic in the contrast to usual Newtonian fluid. And of course, it's a great simplification of the problem because single polymer has a spectra of relaxation time, but we are interested in the longest relaxation time because this longest relaxation time is relevant to hydrodynamics. So for this longest relaxation time, a polymer for this simple model can be presented as in such way where K is a spring constant of the polymer and eta is viscosity of the solvent. Therefore, the bigger viscosity, the bigger relaxation time, and we can use this fact in order to increase relaxation time of the polymers. And actually, it means that when long polymers were added to the fluid, this fluid becomes elastic and has memory, because it's remember for the order of this relaxation time of lambda what was before. The amazing fact that this lambda can be on the order of seconds and even 10 seconds to 100 seconds for single molecule due to, first of all, large molecular weight, and secondly, due to large viscosity. Therefore, in order to study elastic turbulence, we use usually solvents with viscosity on the order of 100 times larger than viscosity of water. Then relaxation time is on the order of 10 seconds. Now, polymers being stretched and oriented in the flow as collective effect produced the additional stresses. And these elastic stresses, which are anisotropic. Therefore, one of the parameters that characterizes elastic stresses is called first normal stress difference, which is difference between component of tensor, of elastic stress tensor in the direction of the flow, minus the elastic component in the direction of gradient. And that's first normal stress difference for the simple model of linear polymers with linear elasticity is can be described in such way where lambda is factorized relaxation time, gamma dot is shear rate. And you can see it's proportional to square of this non-dimensional parameter, means that this effect is non-linear. Now, let's consider one the very striking effect, which was about 65 years ago, which called rod climbing. If we will use usual Newtonian fluid and rotate the rod in the Newtonian fluid, the liquid will be pushed away from the rod, produced here meniscus, and that's actually the expected effect for Newtonian fluid. But if you will use viscoelastic fluid and will rotate the rod, this viscoelastic fluid with sufficient elasticity will climb up on the rod, and that's called rod climbing effect, which can be significant at the height here, and can be, as you can see, it's maybe 10 centimeters. Now, if we'll close the gap, the cylinder from above, and it will be configuration of squared Taylor flow, then this can cause instability in the flow, exactly like in quad Taylor flow for Newtonian fluid, the inertial forces cause instability. Now, this effect can be described in a more rigorous way, but if we use Navier-Stokes equation and very simple model for description of polymer part. Therefore, up to here, it's usual Navier-Stokes equation for solvent, and this additional term which describes the elastic stresses. And elastic stresses in this simple model, which called Aldred B, and Aldred B, it means that polymers are linear in elasticity, which is, of course, great simplification, and also additional simplification that only one relaxation time, the longest relaxation time, is sufficient to describe the property of this polymer fluid. Then we can write these two equations with constitutive equation with linear relaxation, and this additional part, which is we should add increase in viscosity due to polymer component. Now, this derivative for tensor has three components. One of them is advection, and two, another is stretching and rotation. And that's actually a nonlinear term which gives information about elastic stresses which produced by the flow. And this term, it's a reaction back on the flow. Therefore, we have here equation which describes the dynamics of stresses, and here the velocity field with back reaction of polymers on flow. Why I use this equation? In order to show that in case of polymer dynamics with this simple equation, we have two non-dimensional number. One, it's Reynolds number as usual in Newtonian fluid, and that's inertial nonlinearity, ratio of inertial nonlinearity to dissipation due to viscosity. And another parameter, which is Weissenberg number, which shows you the ratio of nonlinearity due to stresses and relaxation due to linear relaxation of polymers. Therefore, these two non-dimensional numbers now describe the polymer hydrodynamics. Now, in case of very low Reynolds number, when inertial nonlinearity can be neglected, the only source of nonlinearity is elastic stresses. Now, let's consider the three limiting cases. In this case, we have Reynolds much larger than unity and Weissenberg going to zero, its usual hydrodynamic turbulence. Now, Reynolds much larger than one, and Weissenberg much larger than one, and Reynolds is going to zero, very small. That's case of elastic turbulence, which I will consider. And third case, both parameters are very large, and that's turbulent drag reduction. Therefore, on this diagram, of phase diagram of Reynolds versus Weissenberg, we can see that elastic turbulence describes this part, closes to this axis, inertial turbulence describes this part, and drag reduction describe this. Therefore, that's actually the connection between inertial and elastic turbulence. And my statement is that in order to understand drag reduction, we should first understand the simple problem of elastic turbulence. And that's what I will next describe. Okay, therefore, back to rod climbing effect, you can see that from elastic stresses, we have volume force, which is nonlinear force. I told you that's nonlinear force versus normal stress difference. It's hoop stress that push fluid. Polymers will be stretched on the streamlines and push fluid towards the cylinder, and that's actually given normal first normal stress difference proportional to the Weissenberg square. And that's the property of this elastic stresses, of course, for linear polymer with linear elasticity. Okay, therefore, let's switch to experiment on elastic turbulence. And I first described the first experiment that we published on elastic turbulence. It's macroscopic approach because we study velocity field and characterize velocity field only in very simple configuration, which is flow between two disks. In this case, the upper disk is rotating and the lower disk is fixed. Therefore, we have gap of D, and this gap we study the flow which occurs due to rotation of this disk. Now, the measurements that we made, it was torque measurements, precise torque measurement of this disk at fixed omega. We measure velocity field locally by laser Doppler velocimetry. We visualize flow from below by putting flakes. And that's actually give us information about the flow, global and local information about the flow. In this case, we used rather low concentration, 80 ppm of polyacrylamide. Polyacrylamide was very long, was 1.8 × 10^7 Dalton, and we used, as I mentioned, solvent with very high viscosity. Viscosity was about, together with polymer, about 400 times larger than water, and relaxation time 3.4. But this relaxation time was defined at that time, defined by small oscillations. Therefore, later on we defined relaxation time by relaxations of stresses. And it was more correct way to study, to estimate the longest relaxation time. Therefore, that's the experiment. And what I want to describe is only the three main properties of the experiment that we, of the flow that we found in this experiment. First of all, sharp growth of the flow resistance. For here, I present you the stresses that we measure on, due to torque. Actually, it may be torque normalized by stresses at laminar flow. Therefore, up to this point, we have laminar flow, and then we have transition. And transition is transition due to elastic instability. And I told you that elastic instability occurs due to, for example, hoop stresses, like in case of rod climbing effect. Here I show two curves because one is for gap of 10 millimeters, another for gap of 20 millimeters, and that's, you can see that this increase rather sharply due to elastic instability, and then at this somewhere here a transition to elastic turbulence, and that's increase due to elastic turbulence, and you can see overall increase it's about 20 times. Therefore, increase in flow resistance up to 20 times actually observed usually in usual inertial turbulence at Reynolds number of the order of 10^5 in pipe flow. Therefore, it's similar to what happens in case of usual turbulence. Now, another measurements we made with laser Doppler velocimetry, and we observe the power spectra in velocity field with definite algebraic decay, which is also similar to what observed in inertial turbulence. But of course, the power law is much larger than case of elastic growth for inertial turbulence. It's about 3.5, And that's very important observation, because power law with such sharp decay means that only few modes made a strong contribution in the random flow. All these modes decay so fast that they don't contribute very much. Now, and third property is efficient mixing, which actually I will show you on next next slide. Therefore, to conclude after the three properties that I present you, I can conclude that the elastic turbulence is random flow which is smooth in space. Smooth in space because in space we have just few modes, large scale modes, in spatial modes, and random in time. Therefore, it's random flow, chaotic random flow, smooth in space, and random in time.
What are the different curves here?
It's different Weissenberg. We increase Weissenberg, we change rotation.
You change rotation rate?
Yes, okay. Yes.
And that's by frequency shift?
Yes, yes.
Victor, may I make a question? Yes. Do people using numerics ever find similar results?
In very simple model, it was found by Celani, Buffetta, and other people, I forgot.
And they found the same flow?
They found this sharp decay in very simple problem of model of Aldred B and Kolmogorov.
With the same flow?
About the same flow. Okay, therefore that's the status of first experiment. Now, I didn't show you the mixing. Mixing we observe in such channel, it's curvilinear channel. Why we use curvilinear channel? Because I didn't point out that actually the elastic instability occurs in geometry with curvilinear trajectory. Why? Because then you reduce the gap, the threshold for instability. There are theoretical predictions that actually this elastic instability and turbulence can be observed and observed numerically in a straight channel, but experimentally it's still a problem. Now, that's why we use this channel to have curvilinear trajectory to get the elastic turbulence. Elastic turbulence indeed we observe because the slope of power spectra was also about, you know, the same 3.3, 3.5 at the same slope. Therefore, it's indeed elastic turbulence. And the mixing you can see here, this is without polymers. We measure positions along the channel, and that's position in the channel, I don't remember, probably 10 or 15, I don't remember. We have, so usually here we have 30 bends. Therefore, somewhere in the middle of the channel, you can see without polymers we have sharp interface, and with polymer we have almost completely mixed. Therefore, that's very efficient way to mix, and it was used actually in micro channels. We use this in channels of 100 microns where mixing is very problematic, but adding polymers and by elastic turbulence we can mix five orders of magnitude better than diffusion. Okay, now I switch to microscopic approach, effect of flow on polymers. Before I spoke about effect of polymers on flow. And first question that appears, it's coil stretch transition and random flow. That's very old question that started in the end of 60s. Lambler first actually raised this question, is it possible to stretch polymers in random flow? And with his phenomenological approach, he actually claims that indeed it's possible. If the characteristic relaxation of time of polymers is larger than, for example, characteristic hydrodynamic characteristic time. Or at that time he didn't speak about Lyapunov exponent, inverse Lyapunov exponent, but he spoke about some correlation time, for example, or velocity correlation time. But later on in 80s, or in 70s, Degen suggested another theory where he claims that polymer cannot be stretched in random flow. And in spite of the fact that cannot be stretched, coil stretch occurs in random flow, still it can be stretched sufficiently, and turbulent drag reduction can appear even without coil stretch transition. Therefore, that's actually the key question, if it's possible to stretch polymer in random flow. And theories that we based on was suggested by its quantitative theory, was suggested by two groups. One is Bulkowski, Tukson, Lebedev, another Chertkov at the same time, actually back-to-back published the paper. And they claim the following. Since we consider now the polymers, which even being stretched much smaller than dissipation lengths, the only relevant scales, it's scales below dissipation scale. Now, it means that below dissipation scale in regime which called Batchel regime, we have random in time and smooth in space flow. It means that it's the same flow or similar flow which appears in elastic turbulence. Therefore, what they consider in case of turbulent flow in below dissipation scale, it's the same flow as in elastic turbulence. In this case, the velocity field can be presented just by a gradient, and the stretching of flow element can be described by this simple formula, where gamma is Lyapunov exponent, and in this case, that's what I already told. As lambda suggested, that relaxation time, the longest relaxation time of polymer should be larger than correlation time, velocity correlation time in the flow. And then what happens? Then we can consider the situation, and that's once more approximation that I will later discuss. That in case when R, the stretched polymers, is much larger than the coil side, but much smaller than maximum, that's important for the theory, we can write this type of equation with stretching term, with relaxation term. Of once more, it's linear relaxation, and that's important, linear relaxation. And then for stationary probability distribution function of polymer stretching, that's the probability distribution function, the tails of distribution will have this shape. Therefore, it's algebraic shape with exponent, and this exponent is related to the relaxation time and Lyapunov exponent. And that's actually the main prediction, that we should first of all observe the algebraic tails, then to measure this exponent, and to measure the exponent as function of Weissenberg. Now, what happens when this alpha is zero? When alpha is positive, the majority of molecules in coil state. With lambda, alpha is negative, majority of molecules in strongly stretched state, then this theory doesn't work. And lambda equals zero, that's the coil stretch transition. Therefore, actually, lambda is zero, it's because this Weissenberg local, because it's defined now through relaxation time and RMS of velocity gradient or Lyapunov exponent is order of one. That's coil stretch transition. Now we made a design experiment to check this prediction. Therefore, in order to check this prediction, we should measure the distribution of stretching of polymers in flow as function of Weissenberg. We should measure relaxation time at the same time in the same experiment of these polymers, and we should measure the velocity field. We should measure either the distribution of or largest relaxation, largest Lyapunov exponent as function of Weissenberg, or the RMS of velocity gradient as function of Weissenberg. And we measure this in such experiment. Actually, there were two experiments, one in 2005 and another 2010. Here was lambda DNA, which is shorter. It's 20, complete stretching is 20. About 21 micron, and radius 0.7 micron, the duration radius, And here we study polymer which T4, which is longer, 71 micron. And both experiments were made in the following configuration. It's rotating disk. It's actually a rod, but the below it's a disk with these parameters. And the gap was about 675 micron. And we observe in gap where the fluorescent microscopy we observe is polymers which appear in the plane of this objective. The objective is high numerical aperture with field with field about 0.7 micron. Therefore, it's only those polymers that appear in the plane we observe and we take into account. And in such way, we made the statistics of stretching. And statistics of stretching, okay, you can see how these polymers we observe. You know, sometimes we observe very long polymers because it's stretched. And flow is random, you can see here. And that's actually for T4 DNA. Weissenberg number is 45.8, and local Weissenberg is 13.4. And that's distribution. And you can see here for different Weissenberg, up to 100, you can see this is low Weissenberg peak appears near the coil size. And then when you increase Weissenberg, it's continuously changed to peaked around the stretching. Therefore, indeed, coil stretch transition appears. And now we should only to characterize this transition. Therefore, that's a distribution near coil, this in between, and that's here in this way. Okay, therefore, we measure, as I told, the measure relaxation time. It's the longest relaxation time of polymer itself. And this is Lyapunov exponent, which defined from definition of, as I told you, alpha equals zero. And that's result. Therefore, indeed, it's close to one, and coil stretch transition appears about at the value of Weissenberg, local Weissenberg, which predicted by C.
Do you measure a power loom for the tail, for the
PDF? Yes, of course. From this, I didn't show only this picture, but if you look in a presentation, not a linear presentation, at log linear presentation, you will see this. I didn't show all details because it's only a small part of what I want to tell. Now, macroscopic approach. Therefore, we observe indeed we have coil stretch transition, and this coil stretch transition appears just above the elastic instability. And in the region between onset and developed elastic turbulence regime. And now I want to study the elastic turbulence regime. Therefore, first I will discuss theory, which based on linear polymer. And that's theory which was suggested by Balkovsky, Fuchson-Lebedev, and later on by Fuchson-Lebedev, and based on, as I told, linear approximation of polymer elasticity by neglecting thermal noise because we have large fluctuation of velocity field. And that gives possibility to present the stresses in uniaxial presentation. It simplifies the problem because in this case, since we have this conformation tensor, which can be presented as uniaxial, we can present the stresses in such way. And then we rewrite the equations that I showed you before. We rewrite in way which is written for quasi-vector bet. You can see immediately that it's very similar to magnetohydrodynamics, besides the fact that instead of viscosity term, we have this relaxation term. Therefore, in this presentation, you can see that this problem in linear approximation by neglecting also thermal noise is very similar to magnetohydrodynamical problem for small for magnetodynamo on small scales. Okay, now what is the result of this theory? First of all, assumption. Assumption that we make in order to solve this problem, it's first assumption that The flow is stabilized by back reaction of linear stretch polymer on flow velocity, and that's claim. Stationarity one gets only when we have this lambda multiply on RMS of velocity gradient order of one. That's actually what's written here. And that's first prediction. Therefore, actually this prediction telling us that the same Weissenberg local equal order of one that we observe in coil stretch transition should persist also in elastic turbulence regime, which is strong prediction, and it should be checked. Secondly, in order to make a theory, and theory is made for calculation of power spectra, there is assumption that viscous and relaxation dissipation are of the same order. That's the result. And if it's the same order, then normalized elastic stresses proportional to Weissenberg square local. And if you take into account this, it means that normalized elastic stresses is order of one. That's second prediction, and that can be also checked. And from these two assumptions, the result that they obtain, that velocity spectra should be proportional, should have algebraic decay with beta, which is larger than 3. Therefore, it's consistent with experimental observation. Therefore, beta larger than 3 is, in our case, 3.3, 3.5. They cannot give exact number. And but there are also another two important results that we can be checked. And that's we made several experiments, macroscopic and microscopic, in order to test this theory. Therefore, first experimental test, macroscopic approach. And macroscopic approach we check in several flow, in flow, which is swirling flow between two disks, and in channel flow we check, first of all, this is how Weissenberg local, and you remember Weissenberg local is the longest relaxation time, polymer relaxation time multiplying RMS of velocity gradient, change with Weissenberg. The transition occurs about here, and you can see it's not stabilized on, first of all, it's not one, second, it's not stabilized and grows with Weissenberg. And that's in swirling flow. And here it's in, this is in swirling flow and this is in channel. And in swirling flow, you can see it's the same, Weissenberg local, because omega RMS, it's velocity gradients, RMS velocity gradient multiplied on alpha. And you can see here, it's also 10 and above and growing with.
It's like exponential growth.
No, it's not exponential.
Because you have a logarithm on the vertical
scale. Yeah, okay, it's growth, yeah. But it's not exactly linear. No, it's not, I cannot tell. Now, here is for different concentration of polymers. You can see from 100 to 900, it's for swirling flow. And but it's the more important point that it's not one, and it's growing. That's important message. Therefore, it's already doesn't confirm this, contradict the theory. Now, that's a problem can leave because it's not related series. It's measurements, statistical results on measurements of torque and pressure fluctuations. And you can see only, I wanted to show that you can see that once more in this flow, in elastic turbulence, it's very similar to usual inertial turbulence. It's also this exponential tails. And you observe this, we observe this asymmetry. And of course, the physics is absolutely different, and I will discuss a little bit about physics. But it looks like in natural turbulence. That's power spectra. But that's another point that I want to emphasize, since we are doing experiment in finite container, in bounded container. Theory was made for unbounded container. But for unbounded container, we found new effect, which was not expected. It's boundary layer. Therefore, here it's profile of velocity in swirling flow. And you can see the profile of velocity is normalized. It's linear part subtracted, which is linear, in order to put all profiles for different Weissenberg on the same plot. And you can see that all of them have the same boundary layer width, independent on Weissenberg, and definite boundary layer. I should emphasize here that additional lengths, the characteristic length which appear from these measurements, was not expected because everything was made below the dissipation scale. It's only scale that in experiments that appears, it's only dissipation scale, and it's already everything below the dissipation scale. So this characteristic scale which appears, it's new one and related probably to distribution of elastic stresses.
Indeed, in terms of stretched molecule, how much it is larger than?
No, it's much larger.
Much larger.
Yes, much
like
larger.
Like 2 orders of magnitude or 5 times?
No, because the same was observed in 3 millimeter channel, 1 millimeter channel, 100 micron. It's scaled with width of the channel, for example, not with the size of molecules. Now that's the same result, but now for channel. That's what I told you. For this, all profiles for channel, and that's normalized profiles for channel. And now, as I told you, I think that it's related to the elastic stresses. Of course, stresses, we still cannot measure stresses, elastic stresses, but we can measure RMS of velocity gradient, which related to elastic stresses. And you can see here that RMS of velocity gradient show peak in the region of this boundary layer.
Concentration of polymers. Could you measure the profile, whether it's homogeneous?
No, we can measure, but
we
don't know, but I don't think that they pile up there, because first of all, diffusion of course extremely low, therefore it's not diffusion, but you know, since we stop flow and we started and the same effect appears, it's doubtful that they so fast they redistributed. Therefore, I don't think that, but we didn't measure. Now, therefore, from all this picture, we can only tell that the distribution of RMS of velocity gradient has such shape, this peak, and it means that peak of elastic stresses appear near the boundary. And that's rather similar to the problem of passive scalar, which concentrated near the boundary for different reasons. The reason is small velocity. Here, at least in the case of swirling flow, it's close to the disk which introduced the stresses into the flow. And what is important here that these stresses from time to time, they induce to the flow, and that's why intermittency appears in distribution of torque, in MPDF of torque, and we have exponential tails. Anyway, that's the point. And what is important that this peak can be in, for example, in swirling flow, can be 100 times larger than Weissenberg local in bulk. Therefore, it's indeed large concentration of large stresses in the boundary. The same you can observe in channel. That's the channel ball. And therefore, I can conclude here interim conclusion about the properties of elastic turbulence, macroscopic turbulence, that first of all, that elastic stresses is intermittently injected to the bulk that leads to skewness and exponential tails in PDF and injected power or torque and pressure fluctuation. Second, we have new characteristic lengths. And third, the non-uniform distribution of elastic stresses should result in non-uniform distribution of polymer stretching. And the polymer molecule should be stretched considerably more in boundary layer, and that's what we observed also in single polymer experiment. But for now, microscopic approach to measure statistic and scaling of elastic stresses and elastic turbulence. As I mentioned, that macroscopic measurements of elastic stresses, we don't have any sensor and tool meantime. And in order to measure stresses, we can use the same molecules which we study, the distribution of stretching of which we study in the flow. Since we used DNA, and everything elastic property DNA is known, and that's actually the curve of force which applied to stretch the polymer in the stretching, and you can see that that's approximation of approximation formula by Markov and Cj, and that's exact formula which calculated for this model of DNA. And here points which are experimental points, and you can see that they agree rather well with theory. Therefore, from these measurements of elastic measurements, that actually usual mechanical measurements, we can get information about stresses or about force which applied for single volume curve, and then average this, and from averaging we can get information about stresses. And that's actually the goal what we wanted to approach, and that's we called molecular sensor to measure elastic stresses in the flow. Therefore, here you can see the first result that shows that assumption of theory for elastic turbulence is not correct. And you can see here that polymers are stretched up to 0.9 relative stretching in the flow. It means that R is order of R maximum and not much smaller than R maximum, which was was the main assumption in theory. Therefore, it's first result. Now, secondly, that's the distribution of polymer stretching for different concentration of polymers. And you can see that from the larger the concentration, the less stretching, because actually you don't need much to stretch the polymer if you have sufficient amount, because actually you need the stresses, not the stretched polymer. It's interesting that for a low concentration of about 6 ppm, we have overstretching of polymer, because here the stretching of this is the longest the L maximum, R maximum of the polymer is 71 micron, and here you can see we overstretch this. Indeed, it's possible in lambda DNA because it's recording, and it's called beta effect, and that's we observed in the flow. It's first time observed in the flow that in principle you can overstretch the DNA molecule in the flow. Okay, therefore from this distribution of polymer, we can calculate, as I told, the elastic stresses, because we know the distribution, we know the force, we can average, because the distribution in planes that we measure, the distribution in angle, it's more or less uniform, and we measure in some spot in the flow, and then the flow is more, symmetric isotropical in this plane. Therefore, we can calculate the average stresses, and then you can see this is elastic stresses as function of Weissenberg. It's normalized by Weissenberg critical transition to elastic instability, and that's shear stresses. And you can see that shear stress is much smaller than elastic stresses. Therefore, second assumption of theory is not correct. It's elastic stresses much bigger than elastic relaxation, much bigger than viscous dissipation.
For large concentrations,
even for large concentrations, that whole concentration here, all this concentration. Therefore, its second assumption is not correct. Therefore, probably theory based on wrong assumption. Now, third, we want to check this assumption that normalized stresses is order of one. And that's the last point. Therefore, we calculate elastic stress as function of concentration. You can see here, it's maximum elastic stresses calculate here. Here is this about, therefore it's about five, saturated elastic stresses about 5 pascal, and predicted by theory it's 0.01 pascal. Therefore, it's 500 times difference, and it means that actually linear polymer is not sufficient to provide stresses in order to drive elastic turbulence. Therefore, you need non-linearity. And here, the last point, it's normalized elastic stresses as function of Weissenberg local, and you can see the growth with like Weissenberg local, they're not constant, of course, and much larger than normalized elastic stresses predicted by theory, and then at some large Weissenberg locals, they saturate actually, saturation. Therefore, that's the formula that we found from this distribution, from this plot, and this last normalized elastic stress is about 130 Weissenberg local, it's slope of this line. Okay, therefore that's the point. Now the possible relation of this result with turbulent drag reduction. Now it's more suggestion than result. Therefore, first of all, polymer can be stretched and overstretched in a random flow. That's first result, important experiment of that. Second, elastic stresses exceed viscous stresses up to two order of magnitude in elastic turbulence. Elastic stresses are about proportional to Weissenberg local and elastic turbulence up to some limit. And Weissenberg local and boundary lengths of elastic stresses are up to two orders of magnitude large, exceed those in the bulk. Therefore, theory based on linear elasticity of polymer cannot explain properties of elastic turbulence. Therefore, if non-uniform distribution of elastic stresses occurs also in hydrodynamic turbulent flow with polymers, then most of energy in elastic stresses boundary layer is stored in the stretched polymers, elastic stresses, rather than in Reynolds stresses, and not transferred to the wall. It can be an explanation on turbulent drag reduction. Therefore, now suggestions that since we have the boundary layer for stresses, where elastic stresses are concentrated, therefore to transfer the moment to the wall will be difficult through this boundary layer where stresses are concentrated. Stresses will take part of this moment we want to transfer. That's the suggestion. We didn't check, of course, this. But what I want to show you is actually the following. First of all, what we expect from theory for turbulent drag reduction and from experiment. The main problem that I told you is problem of measuring both elastic field, elastic stress field, and elastic field. And that's what we try to do in elastic turbulence, but probably this should be done also in turbulent drag reduction, which is not simple, of course. Secondly, if boundary layer for elastic stresses exists in turbulent drag reduction case, I don't know, but that suggestion that we made from our measurements in elastic turbulence, if this exists, then absolutely different approach to elastic turbulent turbulent drag reduction can be suggested. And third, scaling relation between friction for friction factor with Reynolds and Weissenberg was actually suggested in simple model by Celani, Buffetta, and forgot who else, third. In simple model, they found this relation for friction factor, and that's important part, which actually include already characterization by stresses. Therefore, that should be obtained in theory and in experiment. In experiment, I will show you just next slide, I will show first results. And dependence of the drug reaction on certain value of polymer, on polymer molecular weight, elastic nonlinearity, and concentration also should be studied. Therefore, that's actually the program that we have in mind, and that's what we are doing. And distribution of elastic stresses in random and turbulent flow, it's next and the most important part, which still we don't know how to do. Now the last point, it's recent results that we got in turbulent drag reduction in Karman flow with polymers. We have here I show the reduced pressure fluctuation versus Rayleigh. Before we measure for pressure fluctuation, we have two disks, and we measure pressure fluctuation in the central plane, and we measure the torque on the upper disk. Therefore, that's normalized. So we subtract from pressure fluctuation in water, minus pressure fluctuation, not in one solvent, minus pressure fluctuation in solvent with polymer. That's why it's going up. It should go down if you make opposite. And you can see this transition to drag reduction. It's 36% of sugar. Therefore, what we are doing, for several concentration of sugar, we changed the viscosity of our solvent. We made the measurements of turbulent drag reduction, and we made this for the same, we reached more or less the same Weissenberg for different viscosities. Different viscosity change the relaxation time, as I mentioned. It means that it changed Weissenberg. Now, we don't measure Weissenberg, but what we measure relative Weissenberg to the water. Therefore, we have seven concentration of sugar, seven different viscosities, and measurement in water. Therefore, that's what you can see for one concentration. Here it's changing in torque. Therefore, this is turbulent drag reduction clearly. And this changing in pressure fluctuation. And the last, it's here the same plot, but for different concentration of sugar, seven different concentration of sugar and 20 ppm of polymer, one concentration of polymer here. And you can see for torque, they're normalizing really critical for each viscosity. And you can see that's increasing in onset in drag reduction. And here I plot the onset of drag reduction for seven different viscosities as function of Weissenberg divided on Weissenberg of water. In such way, I exclude the measuring of Weissenberg, and you can see this power law, which about 0.6 the slope. Therefore, that's actually the first measurements of this result of elastic stresses and turbulent drag reduction, and this scaling law, for some reason, is close to what was observed in a very simple model by Buffetta, Celani, and
it was Martino.
And they got something 0.67 or something like that. Yeah. That's more or less, and the last, it's conclusion. You can read conclusions. That's it. Okay. I just repeated what I told several times.
I have a question about your 0.5 in your conclusion, some slide before. You had a conclusion at a certain point about several points. Okay, 0.5 was about relative to the linearity in our model and this one.
Sure.
So, what do you think? I mean, the particular theory that we have on, based on the DOIB model or uniaxial model cannot explain your result. But do you think that in general, linear model cannot reproduce your result?
No, that's my feeling. Yeah. It's not sufficient stress which can be produced by this polymer, linear polymer.
Can be absolutely unrealistic, but with linear model you can have infinite stretch. At this point you can have a stress which is as
large no,
as
linear. This theory based on linear stretching.
No, okay. Particular
and
theory
and it's limit because R should be much smaller than longest and much larger than duration. Therefore that's theory based. Now if you made theory with infinite elongation, I don't know, but I doubt. Should be non-linearity because it's produce much stronger stresses.
Strong non-linearity, not
strong.
Something, but like
strong.
Force strongly growing.
Strong non-linearity because that's what gives sufficient stresses. Because, you know, the difference 1,000 times you cannot get from infinite stress, infinite increase.
It's all
sorts
of fluctuations, and you really need very strong forces for, Okay, other questions, remarks?
The genome is folded up inside the nucleus.
Yes, it's folded up. I know you didn't show it in the data, but do you ever see something called like shear bending? I mean, I know that I...
No, shear bending we didn't observe.
Okay.
Shear bending, it's one of the way, but first of all, in polymers, it was not observed in such polymers. But in other, in worm-like micelle, it's observed. But it's one of the scenario towards the chaotic behavior. And recently, it was published a paper by people from MIT about elastic turbulence in worm-like micelles, where previously only shear bending was observed. Therefore, actually, the elastic turbulence can be observed in any viscoelastic fluid with sufficient elasticity. That's the point.
Thank you.